Gospel by Luke, chapter 11, and Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Now, we read both of these passages last week, dealing with the subject of praying aright. And both of these passages deal with the Lord's Prayer. While you're turning, let me just say a few words about those who are laid aside. Mrs. Lowe's father fell and broke his pelvis, and he's in room 401 in Memorial Hospital here in Burlington. And her daughter, Mrs. Bunting, had a hysterectomy this morning in the same hospital. And so Mrs. Lowe is needs our prayers. She said, "Now the Lord never lays anything on you that He doesn't give you the grace to sustain you." Well, now that's true. But we do need the prayers of each other. So remember Mrs. Lowe. And then Mr. Bailey is in Chapel Hill Hospital. That's James Bailey. He has a rapid heartbeat and rapid heart palpitation, and he must be pretty stabilized today because he was up sitting in a chair and standing and walking around in the room. I met a young doctor last night who interrogated him quite a bit, getting a history, and this young doctor, who's a student, was in with him again today and talking. And today I had an opportunity to talk with the doctor, and one of the things that thrilled me was a clear testimony of being saved that Mr. Bailey gave that young doctor. And I mean, it was clear to the point, and it was a blessing to listen to. Now, I knew that, and I arranged the conversation that it would come around. But it was good to, and I told Mr. Bailey after the doctor left, I said, "You accomplished far more as a patient telling that man how God saved you than I would have done." They expect preachers to witness. But when a carpenter witnesses to them, and as solid a witness as you gave, it has a lot more ring to it. And I thank God for it. So we want to remember Mr. Bailey tonight. And then there's another lady I visited who was in my Bible class in Nevin, Mrs. Langley. I never knew that this would be Ruth Bird's younger sister. And she has cancer, and she had chemotherapy a number of years ago, and not too long ago she had radiation treatment, and now she had such pain she had to be taken back to the hospital, and they're starting to give her some more chemotherapy. And we need to remember her in our prayers as well, Louise Langley. So as you remember these before the Lord, we're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, first of all. Luke 11, verse 1. I knew that didn't look right. I had Mark 11, and it just doesn't say the same thing. Luke 11, verse 1. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, practically the same words are taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, where our Lord is ministering on the subject of prayer, and in verse 9 he says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we can call thee Father because of a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. He is indeed thine only begotten Son. And thine only begotten Son you freely gave for the likes of us, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we thank you that we're those whosoevers who have believed and now possess everlasting life. And therefore we can call thee our Father. We rejoice in this relationship, for it is that relationship which is eternal and which will continue. Now we ask on behalf of these needs that are before us, we pray not only for Mr. Garrison and Mrs. Bunning, but we ask in a special way for Barbara Lowe. We thank you for her testimony, her care for others, her care for the family of God, and we ask you to sustain her at this time as she seeks to wait on her father and on her daughter together. We just bless you that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. For Mr. Bailey, and then for our brother George Petty, we just ask you to graciously undertake in their lives. We thank you, our Father, that they who have believed on thee possess a righteousness that is acceptable to thee, and we rejoice in the acceptableness of thy people before thy holy throne. It is all because of thy dear Son, who is the mediator between God and men, that man Christ Jesus, that person who can lay his hand upon the throne of God, knowing all its demands, and lay his hand on a poor sinner, knowing all his needs, and meet them both. And this he did when he bore the judgment of our sins there on the cross on Calvary's Hill. And we thank you that he was raised again from the dead because of our justification. And therefore, we are in thy presence, declared righteous by thee, a holy God. We pause and give thee thanks for this glorious position that is ours. We thank you that you give us the privilege of asking for our daily bread, day by day. And as we study this portion, what it means, help us to lay hold of truth, that truth may lay hold of us and may transform our lives. Deliver us from worry. And there's only one thing that will, and that is the heart that is stabilized by grace, that divine grace that flows from thy throne, that declares unto us in terms that delight the heart, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Therefore we pray that as we ask and receive, we may so instruct others through the teaching of thy word that will deliver us from murmuring and complaining and will enable us to live in the community of thy people in blessed fellowship one with another. We ask these things, giving thanks for the privilege of asking in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, as we examined this subject, the Lord's Prayer, we're just taking a section out of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. When our Lord taught his disciples to pray this prayer, this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, includes all the necessities of life. The Bible nowhere encourages us to pray for superfluities. Rather, it teaches us to pray for life's necessities. And we notice this from Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8, last time. Now, you'll notice that this prayer, whether it's in Luke or in Matthew, does not say, give me today my daily bread. It says, give us. There is a difference. The one is personal and selfish. The other is communal. It is looking at the whole of the family of God, with whom and in whom we have a part and a partnership. When I say with whom, I'm talking about the fellowship of a local testimony. In whom, I am also talking about the fellowship of the local testimony. And the person who prays selfishly, me, my, and mine, that person has never learned the meaning of true Christian love. We need to listen to ourselves as we pray. And we need to ask ourselves, why do I pray for what I do? And how do I pray for my friends? How do I pray? Do I only pray for my own world of interest, or am I interested in others? When God bestows something good upon a Christian, that Christian has an instantaneous obligation to be concerned for his brothers and sisters in Christ. Someone has put it like this. Any so-called Christian church that ever allows any of its members to be in want ought to close its doors. It is a failure in one of the most vital social actions. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, James gravely is concerned that Christian people stop bragging about what they intend to fulfill or accomplish. You know what James 2 says? Let's turn to that passage. The Epistle of James. James is really talking about faith that works. The importance of not only talking about faith, but a working faith. For the faith that is genuinely faith in Christ is not just words, it is works as well. In James chapter 2, and we begin our reading at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled. Those are words. Depart in peace, the Lord bless you, brother. That's words. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit, my brethren? In other words, another way of putting these words, what is the use of it? That's what James is really saying. Now, when you come to the description that our Lord gives of the judgment seat to which he's going to call men, and you have it in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 36. I want you to turn to this passage. Matthew 25. Now, I'd like to say something about this. In verse 31, you'll notice when it takes place. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, I'm not going to read this whole passage, but I'm going to read verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, they who are his sheep, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous, or the sheep, answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now if you're a strict dispensationalist, you can shrug off what he's written here. You can say, well, the my brethren have reference to the Lord's own, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. You see, and then it doesn't have any real meaning, the words my brethren. However, if you take the interpretation that our Lord gave as to what the words my brethren mean in Matthew chapter 13, when our Lord, they told him that his brother and his sisters are outside wanting to see him. And he said, whosoever doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven, that person is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So there's our Lord's interpretation as to who his brethren are. His brethren are his people who do his will and our activity with each other is recorded by God. And God is going to reward in that day accordingly. And this is good to keep before us as a people of God. Now, what does it mean to pray aright? When our text says, give us this day our daily bread, and this is what we are considering. And how do I teach my children to pray aright? You and I are living in a world that is very materialistic, even among God's people. And one of the places where you see materialism, where you wouldn't expect to see it, is in a Christian school. You often find it here, and you find peer pressure very strongly many times, and probably more strong there than you do in a public place. Now, how do I teach my children to pray aright? How do I prepare my children for life ahead? How do I prepare them to do without in case it necessitates it? How do we handle adversity if it ever befalls us? So that brings us to another question. How do we share with others? When have we done the things that are outlined in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. It's an amazing thing when you study that account of our Lord of that judgment. The goats thought they were doing it all the time. The sheep are the ones who didn't know they were doing it. They just did it. And they didn't keep account of it. It flowed so natural from the heart that they had forgotten about it. That's the activity of a sheep. But the goats, they're the ones who paraded it, in all probability, what they were doing. And we find that they're not even part of our Lord's people. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 answers how we share with one another. I'm quoting another translation that says, do not neglect to show hospitality with strangers, for in so doing some have entertained angels without knowing it. And we have the example of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. But our Lord, in speaking in Matthew 25, he goes a step above angels He said, but when you have fellowship with one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. You cared for me. And I'm greater than the angels. We learn that in Hebrews chapter 1. That he's far superior to angels. For you and I have been linked eternally to the Lord in heaven. And the apostle Paul, when he was still Saul of Tarsus, he learned that on the Damascus Road. He had put his hand against Stephen. And our Lord said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren. That word, inasmuch. My friend Jack Hammacher, when he lived on Winston Street in Baltimore, I was there one day and he showed me his guest book. I had to sign it. It's nice to have a guest book in your house and all the signatures that we have in it of people who stayed there over the years. We've had some of the choice servants of God in our home. And he showed me the name of Harry Ironside, recognized as the greatest Bible teacher in the world when he died. And there was a place for remarks. And Harry Ironside just said had one word in parenthesis, inasmuch. And Jack said to me, doesn't that one word speak volumes? It sure does. He saw himself as one of the least of the brethren of the Lord. But anyone who ministered to him ministered to Christ. Now, there is one word in our text that we often forget. Give us this day our daily bread. We have such a problem about worrying about tomorrow's anticipations. We try to cross bridges before we ever get to them. Our Lord taught his disciples to pray daily, not for tomorrow's needs, but for today's needs. Furthermore, he told his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:34, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow can take care of itself. Sufficient for today is the trouble thereof. We need not worry about tomorrow. Therefore, when we pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread, we are really saying to the Lord, it's all right if you take care of our needs one day at a time. Now that is confident Christianity. The man who built Temple University in Philadelphia went to bed broke every night. He saw to it that he did. He looked to God to supply his needs every day. Each day's needs, physical and spiritual, are in the hands of the Lord. Yesterday's problems can well be left behind. Tomorrow's predicaments need not be tackled today. Give us this day our daily bread. What does this really mean? What does this really mean? Well, let us consider an example from Scripture. Israel in the wilderness. When they started their journey from Egypt to Canaan with the slaying of the Passover lamb and their deliverance through the Red Sea, there was not a single complaint and there was not a doubt in the whole company that came out of Egypt. Everyone was jubilant, everyone was rejoicing, and everyone was content to leave their former problems. When they got on the Canaan side of the Red Sea, they sang the hymn of Moses and the Lamb. The Lord has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has cast into the sea. What were they doing? Well, they didn't anticipate the trials that awaited them in the wilderness. They started with joy. Why? They started God's way. Give us this day our daily bread. What happened? Well, it didn't take long, and before they were griping and complaining and murmuring. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 3 that we shouldn't murmur as Egypt did, for murmuring was unbelief. Now, why didn't it take long? For this reason, because they began to worry about the next day's problems in advance of the next day. You see, and they continually contrasted their present situation in the wilderness with their past. He that put his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. They asked the question, same menu tomorrow? Well, yes, it would be. How much longer is this journey? Oh, if we were only back in Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots, where we ate onions and leeks and garlic and those cucumbers. If we were only back in Egypt. Did you ever notice whenever Israel said that, they never talked about the taskmaster? They never talked about the brick kilns. All they talked about was physical needs. And God was providing for them. In other words, they failed to understand that God was continuously providing for their every need. Imagine, their shoes never wore out in 40 years. Their clothing never got threadbare on their backs. For 40 years. God's grace provided for everything that this prayer in Matthew chapter 6 asked for. Give us this day our daily bread. They didn't get it on a Monday for the week. They got it every day. And they never had to store up leftovers. God provided fresh food every day. How gracious of Him. You see, you may be wise and say, well, what about the Sabbath? I know that on the Sabbath, on the day before the Sabbath, they collected 2 days' worth of manna. So they didn't have to work on the Sabbath day. But that was a miracle in itself. Now, we need not worry about tomorrow. We may plan, and we may provide. But our responsibility, is to depend upon the Lord for our every need. Now, the temptation of our Lord in the wilderness is very shrewd of Satan. Satan is ever seeking to attack the people of God. It's amazing in the prayer of the Lord where it says, give us this day our daily bread and lead us not into temptation. What was this temptation of our Lord in the wilderness? He was hungry. Now, if I go without one meal, I get hungry. If I were to skip lunch, for instance, and go from breakfast to supper or dinner, whichever you call it, I tell you, I'm ready to eat. Our Lord was without food 40 days. Was He hungry? Yes. Satan comes by, and what did Satan say to him? You're the Son of God, aren't you? Yes. The answer is logical. Well, you've created all things, haven't you? Yes. He knew it. Well, don't you have all power in heaven and in earth? Yes. Command those stones to be made bread. Why must you go hungry? What a subtle temptation. What a subtle temptation. And you can see the devilishness of the devil when you study the temptation of our Lord. Our Lord's answer to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, what must you and I do? We must guard against the subtleties of the devil. You see, it's so easy to be over-concerned about material things, our possessions, our objects, our property, and persons. And we can, in the process, neglect the spiritual bread which we so dearly need. And that spiritual bread comes only through Christ and His Word. We must learn, beloved, in our prayers, as we pray, to receive from God, but also to share with others. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. Here Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. And in chapter 9 and verse 8 he says this, and I'm going to read another translation, may I? And you watch in the King James, where God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that you may always have enough of everything, in order that you may provide an abundance for others. Paul was providing for what? For the poor saints at Jerusalem. And he was using the Gentile churches to make up this gift that he was going to carry along with a number of other men from the various churches of the Gentiles that made up the gift. And he said to them, God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance. Why? So that you're able to share with others. And this sharing with others, give us, not give me, but give us this day our daily bread. Remember, you pray aright. It delivers us from the predicament Israel was in the wilderness. And it protects us from the subtleties of the enemy. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And our Lord said, when ye pray, say, Our Father. In Luke's Gospel, he follows it through, and he says, which of you, being a father, and you have a son, and he asks for bread, will you give him a stone? That's interesting, isn't it? Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. I don't expect a stone. I expect bread. And he says, which of you is a father? If your son asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? No, we that are fathers don't do that. And he says, neither will your heavenly Father. Give us this day our daily bread.